Welcome back to Keeping Track, our second installment in this little mini-series of spotlights around the women of the 2024 USA Olympic Team Trials Marathon is Fiona O'Keefe. As a six-time All-American at Stanford, graduating in 2020, Fiona got to chase around some fast women on her very own team in college in the middle distance events. She's since moved up in distance and had a lot of success. She actually is approaching this marathon trials as one of few women in the field who are debuting at the distance. Since joining the Puma Elite running team with coaches Amy Hastings Craig and Alistair Craig, Fiona has run great times in the 10K of 30:52. And half marathon, 67:42, to give you perspective of what her potential is in the marathon. We can't wait to see it. Here's Fiona. Okay. Today we are talking to Fiona O'Keefe. She is in the Puma training group. What is your official name for the training group?
Puma Elite Running Team.
Puma Elite Running Team, coached by Amy Hastings and Alistair Craig. And she is debuting her marathon at the U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials, and we would love to hear how pro life has been going since you graduated. Fiona, you graduated in 2019, is that right?
2020
from Stanford. Mm-hmm. So how are things going? How are you liking the group? And can you tell us where you guys have been the last few weeks?
Yeah. So we've been up in Albuquerque training. So it's mostly track people out here, actually. But Rose Harvey, who's like a British marathoner, has also been with us. So that's been fun. But yeah, I've been here since about exactly a month now. And then heading out next week to Florida. And yeah,
it's been fun. How has the altitude camp been? Have you done anything like that before?
Yeah, this is the first time we've come to Albuquerque. I was here for a semester of grad school, so I've trained here before, and I like it here. But yeah, we've done different camps, just never here.
Okay, nice. What was your degree in, to take a segue for
grad school? Yeah, sure. So my degree undergrad was in earth systems, which is basically like an interdisciplinary environmental science major. And then I started a bio grad program here in New Mexico. And that was like in ecosystems and climate change. But there was also kind of a lot of coding involved, and then the opportunity to just run came up. So I went for it.
Nice. Do you think you'll fit? Did you finish it, or do you think you will finish?
No, I don't think I will. Just because the project was pretty data heavy. And it was also like during COVID, so everything was online. It was kind of a weird time in the world.
Yeah, you graduated and kind of started your pro life at a weird time in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you think that affected your start in the sport? How do you look at that time period? Cause that's really tough.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely interesting. I don't see it as like entirely negative. But I do think that it meant that I like wasn't sure what was going on with the NCAA at that time. So I definitely like jumped at the opportunity to turn pro maybe a little bit sooner than I would have if it had been like normal circumstances, because the landscape was so uncertain at the time, and racing opportunities were really limited. So yeah, I was out here for grad school, which was actually like a strange time but a fun time, because I was living with my younger sister who was also on the team, so we were just hanging out in the house a lot. And then I was just realizing like, okay, like what I'm enjoying about being here is the training and getting ready to race. And I heard about the opportunity with Puma and I was like, okay, may as well go for it.
Yes. And just to give a little more background, you graduated from Stanford. Mm-hmm. How was your time there running? And you're a Cali girl prior to that too, right? Isn't your family from California? So can you talk a little bit about just like your running history and what your college experience was like? I know that's like a very open question, but
yeah, I'll try to start at the beginning. Try to keep my thoughts in order. So I grew up like in the Sacramento area in California. My parents are still out there. And then went to high school at Davis Senior High School in Davis, which was like just outside of Sacramento. We were living there at the time, and I had a really great high school coach, like really positive high school experience. I think you actually his daughter, Caitlin Gregg, I think was out.
Yeah, Caitlin's dad. Yes. Yeah.
Bill. Bill's great. So yeah, high school running was like really fun, low key, but like we still had some success as a team. So that was really fun. And then yeah, I looked at several different schools, ended up settling on Stanford, because I really liked the team and I was excited about the school as a whole. And I was under Coach Milt there for most of my time. And he was really great in like taking a very developmental approach, which I appreciated. And it was also super positive to be surrounded by like high level teammates there, and kind of get used to not always being the best at like various skill sets, especially because like I would be training with people like Christina Aragon and Ella Donahue and Elise Cranny, who are like much faster than me on the track. And I feel like that was definitely helpful, transitioning to running after, because then it's like, okay, like I might get dropped in workouts, but it doesn't have to mean anything. And I know it's making me better.
Yeah, I feel like that's really important to have as a pro. Like, it's hard. It can be hard coming out of, at least it looks like it's a challenge for some of the people that win everything in the NCAA and then have to take a few races or even a whole year to like figure out how to race from further back or to like maximize yourself when you're not winning. So, yeah, do you feel like you have a good handle on that when you got into racing after school or like how did that first year as a pro feel for you?
I mean, it was definitely like I was in over my head a little bit, but I think I didn't fully realize necessarily even like the level of competition that I was being exposed to. Like we were kind of just jumping straight into it, which was fun for sure. Like I think I maybe had some slightly unrealistic expectations, like lining up at my first Olympic trials in 2021, in the 10K. Like I remember going into that race thinking like, oh yeah, like I'll be competitive. I probably won't make the team, but I'll be competitive. And looking back on that race, it's like, okay, yeah, I survived that race. I was not prepared at the time. But we did like go to the roads more over the summer. And I feel like that was really helpful in like getting more of a sense of where I was and also like actually being able to compete and not just be in like a track race that was paced at a standard or something like that. It was a really good segue into kind of getting a sense of the competition at that level and having fun with it again.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about who you're training with now for the build up? Or is it just you doing the build up? You said you and Rose, right? Oh, Rose is British though. So yeah, how is that going with you two?
So earlier on in the fall, I was training a lot with Natasha Rogers, but they just decided that Alistair and Amy and her decided that it was best for her to stay in North Carolina and do the build at sea level. So yeah, I guess I've been a little bit more solo for a lot of the long run type of stuff. But yeah, it's been fun lining up with Rose and then even like some of the track people in the group, like Taylor and Courtney, on some of the track days. So yeah, I guess technically I've done stuff alone, but there's just so much mileage that I haven't felt like there's a lot of days where I'm like completely solo.
Yeah. How do you feel about the debut being at a race like the Olympic trials? Are you excited about that or
I mean, I am definitely excited. Ideally, the debut would have been like in the fall or something. So yeah, this was not necessarily the plan to debut at the trials. But it's how things worked out. And I feel like things have been going pretty well in training. And I think I'm ready. So yeah, I don't know if you would ever feel completely ready for your first one. But yeah, I'm excited. I feel like it does make it so that there's a little bit less expectation going in, which is a nice feeling. But yeah, definitely a little intimidating.
Yeah. What do you think about the marathon training? Is it that different than what you've been doing, or like how have you been absorbing that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I guess like I've had some exposure to it in the past, like when I've trained for like the half and some stuff on the roads. It's definitely a bit different from 10K training. But I guess I was on the probably on the higher end of mileage for a 10K runner. So it hasn't been a huge adjustment in terms of volume. Really, just like the long run day has been the biggest change. But yeah, things are a little more spaced out. So I feel like now that I've like gotten more used to the schedule, it feels good to me.
I have to ask, what usually like Roisin or Alicia are my co-hosts and they can't make it today, but Roisin being Irish was wondering if what your connections to Ireland
Oh
are,
yeah.
if one parent is Irish or if like you have anyone in your family.
Yeah, my dad's side of the family is pretty Irish. I'm not as Irish as my name makes me sound, which
Okay.
I know was it was disappointing to the Providence coaches when I was talking to them in high school. You'd be like, yeah, sorry, I know my name sounds like I'm from Ireland, but like actually I think it's my dad's like great great grandfather or something came over
Oh,
during
really? Okay. I don't know why I
Providence.
thought one parent was like right over from Ireland living in the
No.
US or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember Ray recruiting you in when you were in high school.
Yeah, no, I really liked Ray. I really like Providence actually too. It was just like since it was just a liberal arts school, I would have had to like only study biology if I'd gone there. So it was an academic decision why I joined
Yeah.
them.
PC and Stanford are slightly different academic institutions, I'd say. Both good track teams, but yeah. What advice would you give to someone choosing colleges? That process, I mean, it was a long time ago for you, but not as long for me. So I feel like you have more relevant advice for
I
young
guess, yeah, I
girls.
feel like it does feel like the landscape has changed so much just like since I've been out of school, like with all the NIL stuff and everything. So I imagine that must be pretty overwhelming and it seems like the timeline is also pushed up a little bit earlier. One piece of really good advice that I got when I was looking at schools is to think about like not only the team and coach and everything, but also like what happens if you're hurt and you can't run, like where somewhere you can probably be happy and engaged like outside of the sport as well. So I guess I would try to keep that in mind. And then also remembering that coaches do move around a lot in the NCAA. So looking at like where the team culture really speaks to you, I think is important.
Really good advice, and it is kind of like uncharted territory now with the NIL deals. I don't envy these kids, but then I also am trying to see like it must be more opportunity too for them. Like it's sort of a double-edged sword. I think we're still probably figuring out how to do all make those decisions and like do you come out ahead in the end with some of this NIL stuff and some of these, yeah.
Like I can see how like for an older college athlete like transitioning into the pro world, it's probably like helpful to have a little more transparency around like what opportunities there might be and how to work with an agent and stuff. Because at least for me, like that didn't happen until like the very last minute. But yeah, like coming into college as a freshman or sophomore, I feel like that could be like really distracting. But yeah, I don't know.
Definitely. So looking ahead a couple of weeks, like the most of us have our buildups. We're starting to tie up loose ends. You said you just did a workout today. Like what have been your favorite parts of marathon buildup, and what have been your least favorite parts of marathon buildup?
Let's see. I guess maybe my favorite part has just been like the excitement of like getting to do things in training that I haven't done before. Like, okay, that was my first time running that far, or was my first time doing a workout like that, things like that. Like, oh, I didn't know like my body would let me stack weeks like that. So that's been fun. My least favorite part, sometimes just like waiting between the workouts, which is like necessary because you're tired. But it's like, oh, I have like 3 days of just like getting out the door for mileage and like coming from the track. Sometimes that feels like a little bit boring. That and then getting the hang of the drinks is also a bit of a work in progress. So.
Yeah, like what's your strategy? Like, do you have a favorite brand or what have you been
Yeah,
doing?
I've been using kind of a mix of like Morton and Tailwind, and that's been working pretty well, I think. Yeah. So we'll see. I know it's going to be probably fairly important in Florida if it's warm, especially.
Yeah, definitely. I think it sounds like there are going to be a lot of other drinks on the course, and you're gonna have to try and just take on as much as you can if it's hot, I'm guessing. So that'll be something something to add to the newness of it all. That is kind of exciting. I remember that about my first marathon, all the like first times in practice you've hit max, like max volume or like a workout that you didn't think you could do. So that's gotta be fun.
Definitely.
So, have you gotten much advice from Amy? I know she's someone who has the marathon history that could teach you a lot. Like, has she told you anything that stuck or anything that was like stood out as good advice going into your first one?
I definitely will be continuing to ask her advice these last couple of weeks, especially with like all the little details, because I feel like she's so good about like being really on top of the details that can make a difference on race day. Like there's just like little things that she's been like little pieces of wisdom that she's been dropping in continuously. I feel like making sure your bottles are really well decorated so they stand out on the table and you recognize it and grab it. But I think just like the patience factor is definitely something that she's mentioned and that I've tried to take to heart with this buildup, because yeah, it's definitely, there's a difference from the track training where it's like, you know, the compounding and kind of letting it happen instead of just forcing that intensity all the time.
Yeah, it's definitely a different like pace of racing. Like it's like you kind of survive. Whereas the 10K, it's like so active. You're like attacking or responding. Yeah. So you'll see. And some people are just it's just natural to them, and like you'll know that from practice too. Like you'll have an idea. So yeah. So I guess we have a couple minutes left. Do you have any crazy stories or like I don't know. I feel like the heat acclimatization, I struggle with that word, part of this race has been like kind of like there's so many different ways to do it. It's almost kind of like funny what some people are doing to get used to the heat. What about you guys? You're up at altitude. Like, have you worried about it? Are you going to go early? Are you wearing lots of sweaters? Like, what have you guys been doing to get used to the potential heat?
Yeah, I've heard that some people are doing like insane stuff, like heat lamps and all this business. But I don't know. I listened to that call that USATF had, and they were saying that basically, like, most of the science is like 10 days out, you get most of the like physiological adaptations. So yeah, we're going down on the 23rd to Florida. So I guess we'll see, like maybe it'll be 50 degrees, maybe it'll be 80, I don't know. And start getting serious about getting used to the heat and humidity there. But yeah, no, we haven't really been doing anything special for it. Just because like I feel like that could interfere with quality of training. So it's definitely a toss up. Like, you know, maybe it is better that, you know, some people are getting these really specific adaptations. But yeah, we haven't been stressing about it too much. I do have a good amount of experience training in the heat and humidity from like North Carolina summers. So I know what that feels like at least. But yeah,
Yeah, it seems like the obviously the big pieces have to be in place no matter what. Like you have to be as fit as you can be. And you want to be as healthy as you can be, and then like worry, like try and perfect those other things.
I think especially because this is like the first one for me and Natasha, it's been more of a matter of like let's focus on like just executing the build well and like getting through it healthy. And then like, you know, we don't necessarily have time to get cute about like worrying about the heat and everything. Because I'm like, okay, I'm more concerned about the fact that this is my first marathon.
You're like, I can't get over the 26.2 miles I have to run first, and
I'm like, and if it's hot also, okay.
yeah, there's a lot going on. So, like, do you guys have a new shoe drop? Does Puma have like a new? If you can't talk about it, that's okay. But I'm getting the gear details while I'm talking to people.
I'm probably allowed to say this. I'm not positive, but we do have like a new model of our main racing flats, the Deviate Elites. So I will probably be wearing those at the trials. I like the updates they made. I feel like it feels light and pretty responsive, so.
Nice. And one more question we like to always ask on our podcast, which we're missing Alicia and Ro today, so like shout out guys. Is there anything that you don't get to talk about a lot in interviews that you want to shout out or talk about or something about yourself that you want to let people know?
Yeah, I guess like kind of in line with what I studied on the environmental side of things. I'm not like I don't have any big project that I'm working on or anything, but I'm always like kind of thinking about environmental issues and climate change and like ways that we as a running community could do better on the sustainability side of things. So I would just love like for there to be more conversation about just how dependent our sport is on the environment and like the ways that we can have an impact and just kind of raise awareness about that because we do spend like so much time out in nature like benefiting from it and some of these major races and things, you know, like there's piles of garbage on the street and you know a lot of people flying in and I just think there's massive opportunity for improvement and raising more awareness.
Totally. Or even just the like, I don't know, being pulled in two directions as like a runner who's part of the marketing department of a shoe company. You're like, buy this shoe, buy this new shoe. But then you're like, wait, don't buy so much stuff. It's like really hard push and pull there.
Definitely. I can feel like a little bit, I guess, conflicting at times, like getting these, you know, gear drops that are like awesome and amazing, but then everything is wrapped up in plastic and it just more stuff than I need.
But that's an important thing for you to have as something maybe you push for because these big companies can make a lot of change too. You know, they're powerful and they have a lot of influence, and there's lots of things we could do differently.
So yeah, I mean, I am hopeful because I do feel like the running community is like very receptive to this conversation. So I just feel like there's a lot of potential for progress, I guess.
Yes, definitely an important topic, something we need to act on sooner rather than later in a lot of ways. So, very cool. Well, good luck with the last few weeks. We'll see you in Orlando,
Thanks so much.
Fiona.
Yeah, you
And
too.
it was great to check in. Tell Amy and
Yeah.
Alistair and Isla I said hi.
I will. Yeah. I'm sure they'll all be down there too. So.
Yes. Hopefully you can go take a nap now because I'm sure you're tired
Yeah.
after whatever you guys
Yeah.
did today.
Might be time.
Okay, thanks again,
Yeah.
Fiona.
Keep check, keep check. Keep check, keep check.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.